Hi, this is Phil Lefkowitz, Dave's father, coming to you on Dave's Gone By on WGBB 1240 AM.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, New York, and live streaming on the web, courtesy of davesgoneby.com, and a link to a whole bunch of places to listen to us on the Internet. And now, very, very special guest, a guest without whom I would not be here or anywhere, because, you know, he basically manufactured several billion sperm, and I was one of them, and managed to find the egg in my mama. A wonderful woman named Brenda, who married a fellow named Philip.
Amen.
And they've been together for, what is it, 42, 43 years? Or how much is it now?
43 years.
43 years.
And counting.
Gesundheit and Mazel, and thank God, I have with me on the phone my one and only dad, Philip Lefkowitz. Hi, Dad.
Hey, that name sounds familiar.
It should. It should. And Dad recently celebrated his birthday on February 23rd, so I wanted to get him back on the air. He's been on a couple of times, usually to celebrate Father's Day or birthdays or something like that. So where are you at now? You're now 60, what is it? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, you were born in 38.
Seven.
37, right?
Oh, so I'm 68.
68. Mazel, McGlick. And thank God you're doing well.
Well, thanks to your mother, I'm still going strong.
Knock wood. And then thanks to your own, yes, very much so to her, but also to your own thing. I mean, people who may not have heard your previous interviews may not know that as early or recently as 2 or 3 years ago, you were weighing about 270 pounds, not walking very well because of various reasons, and then wheelchair-bound, which you still basically are. But you're not 270 pounds.
No, I'm 190.
You're 190, holding steady at that for a very, very long time.
And I don't go into the wheelchair until 6 o'clock in the evening.
Cool.
And up to that point, I use a walker.
So you're still managing with a walker.
Yes. Cool. Yes.
Excellent. And how?
So it's a combination of your mother's care and some therapy exercises I got from the therapist that was referred by the doctor.
And losing the weight and keeping the weight off. Was that, well, since you don't get exercise in the way most people would think of aerobic exercise or running or bicycling,
right.
What would you say? Was it diet or lowering salt or what?
Fear.
That would work. What was it, the 2,000-year-old man, fear is this great motivator?
Yes. And, you know, your mother raises an eyebrow. Tremble.
Good point. Good. Well, that's what moms are for, you know. That's where we get the word momza from. Anyway, that's a rabbi joke. Anyway, speaking of rabbi jokes and jokes in general, what I wanted you to do this time, since you've been on the show before and we've talked about your childhood and we've talked about my childhood and you've talked about your years in the Air Force, so we've done a lot of the biographies, and even when you met my mom and that whole thing. So now it's time, one of the things that I inherited from you, and you no doubt inherited from Grandpa Sam Lefkowitz, and I'll bet he probably inherited from his dad, was
Louis.
Grandpa Louis. I assume he had a sense of humor. Do you know?
I tell you the truth, I never knew that side of my grandfather.
Really?
He was always coming from shul or on his way to shul.
Oh. All right. Maybe he got it from the grandmother then.
Well, he was working at Manischewitz.
I'm sure he had a lot of jokes about, or that he was telling after he had downed a few. Come home, open his coat, and there's like 5 bottles of you know, cherry tangerine Chablis.
No, what I remember getting from him mostly was matzah.
Oh, okay. You know, there's something funny about that anyway. I don't know why, but there just is. So, but somehow, some weird, ridiculous, sick, bizarre strain of humor ended up going into the Lefkowitz gene, passing its way through Grandpa Sam, who was very gentle, but had a great sense of humor, and then into you, who are, you know, sick and twisted and wretched and brutal and abusive.
Well, you perfected that part of me.
And then it went straight into the sewer with me. I mean, I was like an open, festering toilet in my crib.
Well, this was... No. I think it all started when you first heard Monty Python. in the radio, in the car, on the car radio.
Or maybe, or Dr. Demento on Python.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Demento on the radio.
But I must have had the humor. I mean, because people, you know, millions of people heard Dr. Demento and they don't become, you know, nuts.
Nuts like you.
Thank you. Thank you for thinking of the same word I was. But, yeah, no, it had to be there somewhere. And you had to enjoy it, too, or else you would have put the dial to, you know, country or something. So, anywho, one thing that I asked you to do for this segment was to tell some jokes. Since we both love comedy, we both love jokes, and although I tell humorous things and sometimes joke around on the show, it's very, very rare that I tell basic, old-fashioned, funny, hopefully funny, humorous things.
Hopefully, you're right.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, why don't you tell the first joke? I didn't bring my Ooga horn, which I should have, but I do have a comedy bell with me. So I'm going to grab the comedy bell, and while I'm doing that, why don't you start us off with a couple of the jokes that you brought in to share with us today.
Okay. Well, I had this one that I remembered about a fellow who went out and spent a couple $100 on scuba gear,
mm-hmm.
and he went swimming, and he goes down about 10 feet, and there's a guy with just a mask and fins. So he figures he's got to do better than that. So he goes down 20 feet, and there's the same guy with the mask and fins. So he goes down 30 feet. Still the same guy is with him. When they get down to 40 feet, he can't stand it anymore. He grabs the guy around the neck, drags him up to the surface, rips off the mask, says, "What the hell are you doing down there with just a mask and fins?" And the guy says, "Drowning."
Very cute. And that's worth one ring. Yeah, that's a good, nice one ring joke. Very funny.
All right.
Next? Yeah.
Then there was the one about the girl who was walking down the street. I want to apologize to the female listeners in advance.
Oh, I have to do that every
Okay.
Okay, so this is going to be a horribly sexist and offensive joke.
Go, Dad. So.
This is my father, ladies. Philip Lefkowitz. He lives in Hewlett, Long Island.
I got to tell my son this part of me.
Okay,
it was inheritance in reverse.
All right, so woman's walking down the street.
Right.
And
a hen comes out of an alley, girl grabs her around the throat, and pulls her into the alley. Fellow.
Oh, that's something. Yeah.
This fellow has his way with her.
Okay.
Now, while the guy is putting himself back together, she is lying on the ground crying hysterically and carrying on to a fairly well. And he says, he's moved. He says, "Look, lady." He says, "I know it's not a nice thing to be taken by a strange man." He says, "But it's not the end of the world either." She says, "But how do I go home and tell my family I was raped twice by a strange man?" He says, "But I only raped you once." She says, "What's the matter? You're in a hurry?"
Two rings. And thank you. Yeah, you didn't. We talked about this joke before. You were going to clean it up a little, and you did. And I think it worked. I think it was perfect. You only brought in the word rape towards the very end. You know, it had the shock value, but it wasn't disgusting early on.
Okay.
You know, early on, it was just sexual molestation, which is perfectly okay by me. All right, next joke.
Okay. There was this couple of Indians, a boy from one tribe and a girl from another tribe, on opposite sides of a large, large body of water. And he would paddle his canoe over to see her every day. And their love grew and grew and grew. And then one day there was this enormous storm. And it wiped out all the canoes in the brave's village. And he just missed his girl so. He couldn't wait. He had to try swimming all the way to see her.
Mm-hmm.
About halfway across the river, he got a cramp and he drowned. And to commemorate this sacrifice of love, they named this body of water after this brave.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, people come, especially on Valentine's Day, from miles and miles around, just for a glimpse of Lake Stupid.
Ringing a half. Well, that was kind of too... Subtract a half a ring from that one. But that was cute. That's a very cute one. Yeah, but I understand, this is my father, folks, and so I've heard many of these jokes before. So if I'm not laughing raucously and hysterically, it may also be because I did the first time I heard them, you know, when I was 8. Especially the rape one. The rape one just left me in stitches when I was a toddler. Rape! Okay. More jokes, more humor.
All right. George W. Bush was passing through an airplane terminal, and he noticed an old man in a long white robe with a long white beard, long white hair, and carrying 2 stone tablets in his arms. He approached the man and asked reverently, "Aren't you Moses?" But the man wouldn't listen to him and continued walking. George asked him again, "Aren't you Moses?" The old man continued ignoring him, even turning his back on little Bush. George grabs the man's arm, looks him right in the eye, and says, "Answer me, aren't you Moses?" The man replies, "I'm not saying a thing. The last time I spoke to a Bush, I ended up roaming in the desert for 40 years.
Cute. You know, that's... These are not like comic. These are cute rings. I'm going to give you 3 cute rings on that.
Okay.
See, was that cute? Very good. I like that one. That's very funny. Come on, a couple more.
A conductor was having a lot of trouble with a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
He constantly gave this guy personal attention and much advice, but his performance simply did not improve.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, before the whole orchestra, he said, "When a musician just can't handle his instrument and doesn't improve when given help, they take away the instrument, give him 2 sticks, and make him a drummer." A stage whisper was heard from the percussion section, "And if he can't handle even that, they take away one of his sticks and make him a conductor."
I'm sorry. You're cute. It's not ringable.
Really?
Nah, you thought that was really...
Yeah, I thought it was cute.
Okay. I'll give it half a cute ring. See, there you go.
All right, you can edit that one out.
I probably will. Okay. More. Like 1 or 2 more. And then...
One day, the first grade teacher was reading the story of Chicken Little to her class.
Mm-hmm.
She came to this part of the story where Chicken Little tried to warn the farmer. She read, "And so Chicken Little went up to the farmer and said, 'The sky is falling, the sky is falling.' The teacher paused, then asked the class, 'And what do you think the farmer said?'"
Yeah.
One little girl raised her hand.
Right, hold, don't wait, laugh and then tell the punchline, or else we're just not going to hear it. So collect yourself.
All right.
Put the testicles back in the underwear.
One little girl raised her hand and said, "I think he said, 'Holy shit, a talking chicken.'"
That one I kind of have to cut. I'm going to need that Ooga horn.
Okay. I happen to like that one.
I know, but come on, you should know that you can't use that word.
I know. I was just taking a shot.
Okay, we have time for 1 more joke.
All right.
I'll let you look for whatever other ones you've got.
A woman was out golfing one day when she hit her ball into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
She went to look for it and found a frog in a trap. The frog said to her, "If you release me from this trap, I will grant you 3 wishes." The woman freed the frog, and he said, "Thank you. But I failed to mention that there was a condition to your wishes. Whatever you wish for, your husband will get 10 times more or better." The woman said, "That would be okay." For her first wish, she wanted to be the most beautiful woman in the world. The frog warned her, "You do realize that this will also make your husband the most handsome man in the world, an Adonis that women will flock to." The woman replied, "That will be okay, because I will be the most beautiful woman in the world." So, shazam, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. For her second wish, she wanted to be the richest woman in the world. The frog said, "That will make your husband the richest man in the world, and he will be 10 times richer than you." The woman said, "That will be okay, because what is mine is his, what is his is mine." Shazam, she's the richest woman in the world. The frog then inquired about her third wish, and she answered, "I'd like a mild heart attack."
Oh, that is a 3.5-star one. Mary Weather. 3.5 rings on that from my dad telling jokes on this episode of Dave's Gone By. Before I let you go, Dad, I just want to say, you know, it's great as always to have you on the show. I want to wish you much health, of course, and happiness and love, and things are going well.
Yeah. I just want to end with a Jewish-type joke.
Okay. That's funny. You object to me doing the rabbi on the radio, but you want to tell a Jewish joke. Go ahead.
But it's not derogatory.
All right.
It really sums things up pretty well.
Okay. Here's a sum-up joke from Philip Lefkowitz, my father, my dad, on Dave's Gone By. Let's hear it, Dad.
Never has there been a word that constitutes a whole vocabulary more than the Yiddish oi. Whether it registers surprise, pain, relief, despair, or horror, the meaning varies from oi, I gained 5 pounds, to the IRS is auditing, oi vey. The vey adding more woe to the oi.
Okay.
A first cousin is nu, which connotes a frown, a sigh, a grin, or a sneer. Oi and nu together work like a dictionary. Oi, said Goldstein. Oi vey, said Stern. Nu, said Rosenblatt. At which point, Horowitz put on his coat. Listen, if you're talking politics, I'm leaving.
4 rings for my dad, Philip Lefkowitz. 1, 2, 3, 4. Love you, Dad. Love your mom, too, of course.
Ditto, many more years.
Thank you for, you know, having me and making me and watching over me all these years.
And thank you for giving me such a lovely daughter-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
And
I birthed her myself.
Puppies.
Oh, of course, the 2 dogs. Well, love you, and thanks for being in the neighborhood.
Thank you.